Thanks for joining me. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, taking a look at the social writings of Blessed John Paul II, who died almost 3 years ago. We do that with Dominican Alejandro Crosthwaite, Professor of Catholic Social Teaching at the Pontifical University of St. Thomas here in Rome. I'd like to begin then in chronological order with the encyclical Laborum Exercens on human work. The date is 1981. And you get the feeling that this particular encyclical reflects the Pope John Paul II's personal and very Polish experience. The whole question of communism and the situation of workers and, of course, the word solidarity is very much in the picture. Is that correct?
I think he tries to give an answer within the socialist world or within the communist world, to be in dialogue with it. And so he looks at the question of work, which has always been one of the main questions of Marxism. And he gives a new development precisely to Laborum Exercens. And the big transformation or the big difference, I would say, is his definitions, for example, of capital and labor. Traditionally, they've always been understood capital to symbolize all those who owned the means of production and all those who were the entrepreneurs, the industrialists, and so on. And then labor was the proletariat, the workers, and the conflict that existed between the two groups and so on. John Paul II gives a whole new definition. So he begins, first of all, by talking about the subjective and the objective dimension of work. And by objective, he basically means that which is produced, that which we produce through our labor. But he really focuses on the subjective element of work. And that is, again, going back to the question of human dignity and that every human being is capable of transforming his society because of intelligence and so on. So he begins to say every single person is a worker because no matter what we do, we are producing something. We are changing the world through our own labor. So industrialists in their field, the worker at the mill and so on, we're all workers now. We are all part of labor. We're all part of the working class. And so there's no conflict. There shouldn't be any conflict because we're all in the same boat, you could say, working. Capital is the production, the actual product that we're making. So that's a whole different thing. And so therefore, capital must be under labor. So there's no longer that contention that was spoken about between capital and labor. But we're all workers now. We are called to work in solidarity. So the principle of solidarity, again, becomes canonized and also defined. And we are to work together, and we're all working together. And that's the call. And so not to turn the worker into an object, into a piece of the working machinery. So that's his big contribution, I think, his contribution of definitions of what is capital and what is labor, and the whole question that all of us are workers.
That's in Laborum Exercens.
That's Laborum Exercens, so that's what his focus is on there.
Pope John Paul's next encyclical is Solicitudo Rei Socialis on Human Concern. The date is 1987 this time, and if I remember correctly, this particular document attracted plenty of criticism within the Catholic Church, because it was viewed as linked to liberation theology. Am I wrong?
Solicitudo Socialis was criticized by some sectors of the church and as well as the world, because for a lot of them tended to see this encyclical as very socialist, actually. He takes a lot of the principles out of liberation theology and talks about liberation from structures, that there's such a thing as unjust structures, financially, socially, and so on, that somehow work against the development of people, somehow do not allow them to have the human dignity. So he begins to incorporate a lot of those elements, which becomes very contentious. So in many, many, many circles, especially in the United States, for example, we don't talk that much about Solicitudo Rei Socialis. So that's one of those tense moments, I would say. And yet, I think it's a wonderful encyclical because it talks about that is not just a moral issue personally, but is a question of structures, that they actually we need to start changing how our society is structured, how our finances are structured, how our economy is structured, because some of those structures are perpetuating a lot of the problems we have, a lot of the social issues we are having, and that somehow are working against the development of nations. So I think that's one of the main contributions of Solicitud a Reso Chalis.
That's when he used to get angry, that time, kind of time. He used to get angry.
Yes, quite a bit, also. Because at the same time, as he's talking about the issues of justice and so on, he's also very concerned that the clergy, per se, will start doing this. He begins to call upon the laity. So he goes back to Vatican II and the whole question of apostolicum actuosism. That is a question that it is the laity's mission to transform the world. It's not that of the clerics or the hierarchy. So the mission of the hierarchy is that of teaching and reminding society, being a prophetic voice. And so he does that in this encyclical. So a lot of the anger that sometimes comes in John Paul II is because he's seeing people doing things that shouldn't be part of their mission. And he addresses that a little bit in Solicitud a Reso Chalis, but also in other speeches that he gives through this period.
Then, after the collapse of communism in Eastern Europe, he writes Centesimus Annus to mark 100 years since Rerum Novarum.
Correct. And so this becomes the culmination, we could say, of all the social encyclicals, with Centesimus Annus of John Paul II. The big event, again, the world is in a new world order. And that is the collapse of communism and, in one sense, we could say the end of the Cold War as we knew it. So it's a new world order where we have now one power in the world. And so that transforms the dynamics of the world, of the finances and economy. And so in one sense, Centesimus Annus is a victory call to market economy. So he supports market economy, and he says that is the way for progress, that is the way for development. So it's very much embraced Solicitud a Reso Chalis by the United States and other countries and the capitalist bloc. But also he begins to warn that we shouldn't glorify capitalism because there's a lot of problems, and we need to be mindful of the poor, and we need to be mindful of the workers and so on. So market economy is wonderful, but it has to be under law. And law that looks at human dignity, that looks at the rights of peoples and rights of nations. So it has to be put within this context of human dignity. And of course, there are several encyclicals being written at the same time about life, for example, Evangelium Vitae, and he talks about Fides et Ratio and so on, that basically are trying to set those parameters within this new world order. So as he embraces the market economy, at the same time, he says, but we have to be aware that there are problems and that basically we're called to solidarity, we're called to subsidiarity. So basically, he makes a summary of all those principles that have been accumulating in Catholic social teaching to our time. And that's what he does in Centesimus Annus.
He picks up on the third way, does he?
He doesn't pick up on a third way, actually. Like I said, only Quadragesimus Annus speaks in those terms. The church begins to say, we give the principles that need to be incorporated into the different programs and so on. Also calls us again, he changes a little bit the method of Paul VI, going from the see, judge, and act method to more of here are the principles and how are they applied universally. So he tries to go back to universals again and back, and this is especially reflected later on Fides et Ratio. That there are principles that apply everywhere in the world. So it's a reminder again to the world that there are certain principles. And we could say from social justice would be the principle of subsidiarity, the principle of common good, the principle of solidarity that he begins to call a virtue. This is now a virtue, part of the moral virtues, to have solidarity. So it's the permanent disposition of being not only in pathos or in solidarity with suffering, but also that we begin to work to end that suffering, to improve life, to really be in solidarity, transforming society for the betterment of everyone.
And our thanks there go to Dominican Alejandro Crossvoit, Professor of Catholic Social Teaching at the Pontifical University of St. Thomas here in Rome. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.